Well, it is so good, so good to have this microphone in front of me and get a chance to talk to you again after what feels like eternity. This is the very first installment a serving of a Sports Live with BBK, and we are only doing the first one on the 16th of February because, as you can hear, my voice has been playing hide and seek with me, but it is nothing that a spoonful of honey and there are lots of hot water cannot solve. It has been very, very scratchy, but we are getting there with time. Now, let's turn our attention to our guest. I'll tell you something about this man. He was signed as a player by a certain John Comitis many, many years ago. And at that time, this man was busy pursuing his law studies. Guess what? He went on to graduate as a lawyer, and he went on to become a top player agent after that. Who is he? You'll know just now, because he sits in the same Premier Soccer League structure as John Comitis, as a fellow club owner.
Hi, my name is Tim Sugazi, the president of TS Galaxy Football Club, the Rockets, and many others. They call us now Kaizer Chiefs Slayers. Do switch on to Sports Live with BBK, and you won't regret it. You'll thank me later.
Tim Sugazi is your guest on Sports Live with BBK. Naga, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Naga. Thank you so much for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Thank you very much, my brother, for agreeing to be the very first guest of Sport Live with BBK this year. Now, Tim, you are the president of TS Galaxy, and this is exciting because we're talking here about an outfit that has made South Africa sit up and take notice way back in 2019. And this was at the packed stadium in my hometown of Durban, where at the Moses Mabhida, people were packed to the rafters, and you sent shockwaves right through the country with the 1-0 victory over Kaizer Chiefs. And this was in the Nedbank Cup final, and you were in the National First Division back then. Coach was Dentens Malisela. Now, just this past Saturday, Coach Ramovic also scored his very own 1-0 against, guess who? The very self-same Kaizer Chiefs. What is it with TS Galaxy and Kaizer Chiefs, Tim?
BBK, when TS Galaxy came into the professional ranks, and that was 2018-2019 season. And during the time of the Nedbank Cup or leading to the final, I declared it. I said, there is now in this country a new football rivalry outside what we have become accustomed to, which is the derby or the Soweto derby between Chiefs and Pirates. I said, this new rivalry now includes and involves TS Galaxy and Kaizer Chiefs. I declared it then. And now, with hindsight being the best science, we now fully agree that actually my premonition then stands to be true today. So it is what it is, man. They are our arch enemies, or at least those who are pro Chiefs, they see TS Galaxy as their arch enemies. And therefore, when we play them, it's always a huge rivalry. It's not going to end. We, as TS Galaxy, have contributed to Kaizer Chiefs' demise, I would say twice in 7 years, because in 2019, they thought they had the cup in the bag because we were in the lower ranks in the first division. And then right now, they looked at the TS Galaxy log position. They thought, it's going to be a walk in the park. It's not possible. It's not possible. We're a special club. We might have had our own challenges. And we just went on, when we play them, we just go about our work as we always do. But there is some German precision, as you would know, in our camp. So, Saturday bears testimony to that.
Speaking of German precision, but before we even get there, let's talk about you saying there's something special. What is it that is special about TS Galaxy, and what has Coach Ramovic brought into the team with his German precision?
Look, it's the TS Galaxy is the club of the day. I would call it that. It's a modern club, young club, very young. It's a youthful club, youth-driven, youth-managed. And it's a club that is quite innovative. It moves with the times. I think this is the kind of a club that South African football fanatics, more especially youth amongst many, have been longing for. So South Africa needed a different proposition from a football club point of view. We came in, and I did say on the morning of the 18th May 2019, when we were about to play the final. I said, after that day, you know, the South African football landscape will be redefined, because what will happen, we'll see history being made right before our eyes. And that was true. You know, it makes this club very, very special. People won't forget that. As matters stand in the African continent, this club is the only one to have played in the CAF as champions from the lower ranks, to have won the FA during our lifetime. And I don't know when it happened in England, in those 1926 or something. So in our lifetime in the world, this is the only club that has won an FA Cup from the lower ranks. And I think it will remain so for more than 50 years to come.
Tim Sugazi is the voice that you are hearing at the end of the line, and is telling you about the historic and mammoth achievements of his very young club, for which he is a very young chairman himself. Now, you went around the world and looked for a coach. Coach Dan left, Coach Owen Dagama left, and then you came through with a man who is a former goalkeeper in Germany. There are a lot of people thought, Ramo, what? You know, and what happened since then is that he has been able to come in and settle. I understand that he is one person that you've known long before he even became a coach. You wanted to bring him to the country for a club while you were still an agent?
Yeah, I wanted to bring him, you know, for a club. I won't name the club.
I hope it's not Kaizer Chiefs.
Well, your hope is misplaced. So I wanted to bring him, you know, to a club here locally as a goalkeeper, because he was an outstanding goalkeeper. At the time, I think he had just left Wolfsburg, going to Turkey or Norway, if I'm not mistaken.
So he went to Norway, yeah.
Yeah, that deal didn't materialize. And then, but we kept contact. When he retired from football, we kept on talking. And then he started qualifying himself, you know, with the UEFA Pro license, we kept on talking. So every time I would speak, I would know as much that a lot of things he would say, you know, would make a lot of sense. And he believes in what I believe from a football philosophy point of view. I'm a huge subscriber to possession football. I believe that football has to be played with the ball in your feet. You need to have the ball, own it, starve the opposition of the ball. If you've got the ball, they can't score you. It's simple logic. And if you've got the ball, you dominate with the ball, the chances of your scoring remain as high. And I think you saw what happened on Saturday. Exactly what I'm saying did happen. We dominated at some point. We're sitting at 67% possession against Kaizer Chiefs, and they never saw the ball. People now talk about Chiefs being poor. No, they must give credit to the opponent, to be honest. They must give credit to the opponent. We played our A game, and I'm glad, because it happened just after we had a mini preseason. You'll remember that Ramovic never had a chance to preseason or prepare the team. He got what he got. He had to work what was there. In October, he never had a chance to, even 2 weeks, to train the team. No, he just had to go on with the work, you know. So now he's had at least 3.5 to 4 weeks. It was good enough for him to start preparing and applying his philosophy.
For sure. And I love the fact, Tim, about the fact that you have a man who is coming to South Africa not just to say, you know me, I'm from a higher level of a footballing nation, which is Germany. We've won so many World Cups. Our clubs are doing so well in the Champions League, as that. I'm talking about him making an effort to immerse himself in the culture of the country. He's trying to learn the language. And if you saw the pre-match interview that he did in his Sizulu, it may be broken and stuff, but what you acknowledge is the attempt. And I see Umine and Tlempoga Mkhize Kabazela Kamavovo is doing a lot, you know, running those classes. But now, Tim, you are on a Nedbank Cup high currently, but I'm going to burst your bubble, because the picture is a complete contrast in terms of the bread and butter. That is the league. You are bottom of the standings at the time of recording this podcast. You are with 13 points from 17 games ahead of your clash with AmaZulu. It doesn't make for a good reading, Mnaga. It doesn't.
That's true. I'll start by saying, come 2022-2023 season, TS Galaxy will be in the Premiership. Mm-hmm. And then, park that thought. Coach Siya Dramovic got and here, and at the time when he joined us, we were sitting with at a lousy 2 points. At some point, we had 8 matches, 2 points. In this league, usually you are out. Once you are left behind, because the team next to us was about 6 to 7 points. So once you are left behind in that manner, you're out. You won't catch up. It was a mountain to climb. So he managed to do that. So in 11 games in charge, he gave us 11 points. And in this league, this season, you do worth a point a game, you know, so that at the end of the 30 round of matches, you'd be at 30 points. You'd be okay. So he has given 11 points. So all that remains now is for him, you know, to keep the momentum. With what you've seen on Saturday, I'm sure now, all doubting Thomas is they start now seeing what I've been seeing all this time to say this club is good enough to stay in the league. It will be a total injustice for a club like this not to be in the league. You know, it will be in the league for sure, no doubt. He has done fantastically well. He's caught up with the at least the pack at the very bottom. Usually that left us with, there was 6-7 points difference. We have caught up with them. All that remains is for us to climb, and we'll climb definitely, no doubt.
Tim, does it help? You've spoken earlier about the fact that he's a man who speaks the same language as you in terms of how you want the game to be played. Ball on the ground, ball on the feet, possession football. Does it help that you guys are almost, you know, like brother and brother in terms of age and stuff, in terms of you being able to converge around 1 point? And I get your confidence and all of that, but I still want to emphasize that Galaxy are in ICU, you know? Those life supporting machines are beeping. Doo, doo, doo. The situation is critical. Where does your confidence that he is going to stabilize the patient come from?
Because, as I said, he didn't have any opportunity to prepare a team. Now he has had at least 3 to 4 weeks to prepare, and we can see the difference. Everyone who was watching on Saturday. I spoke about it last week before the Kaizer Chiefs game. I said, we have prepared very well. We have had a very, very good preseason. It will now be up to Kaizer Chiefs. I don't know how they prepared, but what I know is that we will go to Soccer City. We will probe a few questions. They will have some questions to answer. It will be up to them how they respond to those questions. And they never responded. So that just alone tells you that this is a well-drilled club machinery, you know, and if you could keep what the performance of Saturday at the bare minimum, we will be good in this league, no doubt. If we excel, we excel by 10%, even better, you'll find us in a top 8. So that's why I've got no doubt. I see what's happening in training. I've been seeing what has been happening in training in the past 3 weeks. So I know exactly where the team was when we restarted. I know exactly where it is right now. I saw how it dominated an opponent such as Kaizer Chiefs. And with that as a benchmark and keeping it at that or increasing by 10 to 15%, we should be good enough in this league, man.
Tim Sugazi is my guest right here on Sport Live with BBK, and we're talking everything football. We're talking Coach Ramovic, we're talking TS Galaxy, we're talking his high with the victory at the Nedbank Cup, going through to the last 16 stage and doing so at the expense of Kaizer Chiefs, having beaten them in the final a couple of years back when they were still in the National First Division. Now, Tim, players make it the team. Not team as in your name, but players make it the TEAM. And there's one player in particular in your team that really captures my attention. Talk to me about the Mancane of Bafana, Ethan Duncan Brooks.
Yeah, it's the Mancane of Bafana, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing story, because Ethan, at the start of the year, 2020, he had not played at a professional level.
Yeah,
I had already roped him. I saw him once at training and I signed him whilst he was doing his matric. I was happy for us to have him in our books and pay him whilst he was doing his matric, mm-hmm. because I had seen the talent that he possessed. So it tends to be true when you look at his track record. 2020, he was an amateur. In 2021, he amassed 11 senior national team caps, right? So, and I think besides his talent, he's a highly, highly level-headed boy. Of course, he's ambitious. He wants to achieve more. And he's a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And God does reward the brave, man. Hard work pays.
And that hard work is definitely paying off for him, because he's really been able to shoot himself up into the national team that is also on a rebuilding phase with Hugo Broos.
And, you know, no one would have seen that coming. Fortunately for him or for us, the country is the coach that believes in the youth. And by definition, a youngster who was born in 2001, he is a youth. He's a youth in truth, not a 24-year-old. Usually we call them youth when we see them for the first time in the Premier ranks. No, he's a 2001. He kicked the ball for the senior national team still at the age of 19. So I think it fits squarely with the vision that Hugo Broos has. And besides that, he's got good enough talent, man. He is, I mean, you see what he saw on Saturday. I mean, what he did on Saturday. You saw that. And you have seen what he's done against Ghana in the senior national team. You know, dominated that midfield with players who are playing in Europe. You know, the Ghanaians that are playing in Europe, big guys and all that. So I think it's a revelation for the country, and is going very far.
Speaking of youth, I'm going to talk about youth in inverted commas, away from the field and now into the boardroom. I'm looking at the PSL. The landscape seems to be changing. You've got your Tlhopi Motsepe at Sundowns as the chairman right now. You've got Andile Mpisane as the chairman at Royal AM right now. You've got the likes of yourself as president of TS Galaxy. What do you see as the future for the leadership of the game in the country at a professional level?
Look, I would tell you my wish. I would want to see a South African football that is run by capable hands. Hands that are also good enough to want maybe to learn, you know, from those that have done a good job. Take a person like Dr. Evan Kos. I think he's done a fantastic job for a longer time. You cannot take anything away from him. You know, and of course, I have also taken cognizance of the proliferation of one or two young senior club officials, such as the two you have mentioned. However, I must admit, I have never worked with them to that level. I don't know their skills level. I don't know, I don't know as much, you know, about them from an executive of a company, or at least a company such as the PSL. But if they've got what it takes, why not? And if they don't have, I think they are surrounded by many people from whom they could learn, you know? Yeah, it also depends. We cannot just do it because people are young. We should do it because they are highly capable. They are highly capable of delivering on the job, you know? In my case, I wouldn't want to blow my own horn, but I studied law, as you know. I played the game, as you know. I studied law, I qualified myself, I became a partner at the largest law firm in the continent, Bowman's, for more than 5 years. And thereafter, you know, I ran my own law practice, ran my own businesses, you know, and I sit at boards, man, of state-owned companies, other private companies that are listed. So if you want to know if I've got a board experience, I do. And I deputize in certain boards, you know, so without blowing my horn, I don't know if the others, I think they're still young to be there. But if they're willing to learn, they've got good enough people around them, and it will spell a very good future for South African football. You want new ideas. You want a youth-driven football. Like TS Galaxy, you would want clubs that talk to the issues of the day, for example, the involvement of women in the game of football. In my opinion, women have been marginalized for the longest time. TS Galaxy has extended its tentacles in accommodating and creating opportunity for a number of women through different programs, be it football clubs, be it a young women's educational program, be it within our senior administration ranks. You know, we are not shy and we are not apologetic about it. So you want that kind of influence at the highest level of the game. And you want change. You don't want to see these errors that we see, fundamental or elementary mistakes that time and again you read about, or they happen.
you know, at our football administration offices. No, you want progress. You want new things. You want innovation. So, yeah, I think the football should be open to such.
And you also don't want to see a president of a club being manhandled and being denied access at the stadium.
Yeah, of course. I think that kind of conduct is deplorable, very embarrassing for a game of football. I think we owe it to Football South Africa to really dish such conduct. You know, it's disappointing if it comes from a very renowned big club, and that is spearheaded by chairman of the league. You wouldn't expect that for no apparent reason. So it was very disappointing. It was one of the sad days for football. And now the matter is on. And my take is simple. You know, the outcome of that disciplinary hearing will spell and define clearly the future, will tell us exactly where the future of football is going.
Most definitely. And we are keeping our eyes very glued on that kind of situation. Now, Tim Sugazi, tell me about the running a PSL team during the time of COVID-19. How easy was it? How difficult was it? How close were you to closing your doors, or was it cushioned solely by the fact that the broadcaster of the league is a strong partner and has been able to say, we have a structure as a sponsor that allows you to be getting a grant that keeps your head above water, even during as trying as times have been under COVID?
For sure. I think the existence of DStv as the partner has really enabled clubs to continue living and surviving during COVID. You know, if it wasn't for that, I don't know what would have happened. Fortunately, they came at the right time. Their sponsorship is still new. And then they came during the time of COVID. Having said that, it's quite a challenge. You know, if you don't have supporters, you'd want to see supporters in the stands. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm expecting a better response from football administrators, be it the PSL. I see no reason why supporters aren't allowed. SAFA did get supporters way back then during the National Team World Cup qualifying matches. And the league said they want reports from SAFA. They've asked so that they could see, take from their experience and learn from it and do and see how they could replicate in the league. We haven't heard anything about that to date. What did the SAFA report say? When is the replication? We all always benchmark ourselves, or at least look upon the English Premiership. These people introduce supporters at the peak of their winter. They are still there right now. We never did it during the peak of our summer. We're not doing it. I don't understand. The regulations, COVID regulations have been relaxed. And the president is alluding to, I think, getting rid of this state of disaster legislation. And we are not moving. We are sitting in the exact same position. That part I don't understand.
So
I really don't.
So tell me, Tim, do you not have conversations or meetings at the PSL where we talk about a situation where the fans must come back based on all the elements that you've just explained now, which we all know? By the way, it's not only the fans, even the media. The journalists are not allowed in. It's only people from SuperSport who are there, came in and came out. Do you guys, at a level of being officials, at the level of being club chairman, not have conversations or meetings where this issue is discussed?
There's never been any kind of meeting in recent times. I'm talking now the Board of Governors, other than the AGM, I can't recall really. And in any case, the administration of the league is in the hands of the executive. So that was, I think, elected 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And it is the executive that now is guiding football, you know. So I don't know. I'm not privy to information, their deliberations in those rooms. But I'm asking the very obvious here. You are sitting there. You also don't have answers. There's nothing that talks against now introducing supporters. Listen, I mean, if you think of it, government and us football, we are talking about vaccination. We want to encourage people to vaccinate. But now, why shouldn't we utilize football stadium access as a means of encouraging people to vaccinate? You know, if you're vaccinated, you'll get access to the stadium. It is simple as that. Don't you think the numbers will multiply? They will multiply.
people want to watch football. So these are easy things. They don't need a rocket scientist. We're not talking, we are conspicuously silent as football on the issue of opening the stadium, and it is a concern to me.
Here's a concern of mine, Tim Sugazi, president of TS Galaxy. Been in football for quite some time now. I've seen a lot of teams die, most recently being Bidvest Wits and the Bloemfontein Celtic. I want to get your take on the buying and selling of clubs at the drop of a hat in our league. There's TTM buying Wits, and before you blink, TTM is bought by somebody else. Someone said to me that they can't tell the Amarumo Galaxy from their TS Gallants. You see how confused people are in this state. But on a serious, this surely cannot be sustained. This surely kicks football in the teeth, in that when you are a club, it's not just players and the technical team and the administrators. It is a whole community of people, a community of supporters, people who invest their money, hard-earned money, if I may add, to actually buy the paraphernalia of the team, the apparel and everything else. And then one day you wake up, Mpumalanga Black Aces is no more. It is now Cape Town City. You came through the very same situation in terms of buying the status. Is this something that is not going to ultimately undermine what the product is in terms of the eyes of the people?
I think new entrants coming to the game, it does no harm, because there would have been some due diligence before by the league before they enter, right? However, if those new entrants come and exit and return and exit, you know, then it makes a mockery out of our football. That's where my issue is. So I am saying, if new entrants come and if they pass the master from a due diligence point of view, they satisfy all the necessary requirements, then they should be locked in to a minimum period, be it 5 or 10 years, it doesn't matter, so that people, they know that we are serious and they must know what they're getting themselves into. You know, then in that scenario, you won't see people coming in and then later they're sold, they're selling, they're back after 2 weeks and whatever that has been happening in recent times. I think that is really what is turning this whole thing into mockery. I'm quite open to new investors in the game, new entrants, as long as they qualify, they tick all the right boxes, all good and well, but they must be locked in.
And that locking in also means that you are able, you mentioned England earlier on, you find a situation there where a child is born in Merseyside, and that child will be born either on the blue side or red side of Merseyside, meaning they will either be Liverpool or be Everton, and you will find them as babies being garbed, being dressed in the colors of the club, of their family, of their street, of their community. And here it's different in the sense that your grandfather grows up supporting Orlando Pirates, and then you find that as time goes on, your uncle decides to branch off and become a Amazulu, for argument's sake. And as time goes on, you find that the Mpumalanga Black Aces, and one, the next thing, Mpumalanga is no longer there. So this loyalty, this being married or joined in the hip with your team, it is not something that happens mainly in South Africa. You get guys who say, but I know this guy used to support Pirates, now it's Sundowns because Sundowns are winning. You know that kind of thing. Where do we draw the line, and when do we draw that line in order to be able to create that culture that really says we do not undermine that which is the core of the game, which is the supporters?
Yeah, look, I think the English system is different to us in many ways from a support loyalty or supporters support generation perspective. So as you have mentioned, in England, most of the clubs, or the big ones, major clubs, they are communalized proper, right? So if in Manchester, you know, you'll be, the dividing line will be whether you're a City or you're a United. But you would be from Manchester, you'll support one of the two, right? And then the Merseyside, as you've mentioned, Liverpool or Everton, and you have a Sunderland, for example, you know, Portsmouth, and you name them. Here we really don't necessarily have such. So most of our clubs, I think, instead of being communalized, maybe our system or preferences, club owners, maybe is individual based. I don't know what's the thinking at other clubs. However, at a club like TS Galaxy, you can see there is that community element. We clearly identify ourselves with our place of origin, which is Gwandebele, and they proudly resemble as well the beautiful province of Mpumalanga in everything we do. I don't know other clubs, and if you go to Gwandebele, 9 out of 10 people will come across our TS Galaxy, which is the reason why we filled out the stadium to the rafters whilst we in the lower ranks. The same was going to happen had supporters been allowed. And my point would have been clearly illustrated. So maybe clubs need to consider reconsider their standing models, you know, and embark on a community-based system. And I think that is the only system that will generate the support and the loyalty that we have alluded to the BBK.
As my parting shot, as we conclude this conversation with the president of TS Galaxy, Tim Sugazi, I'm going to request that you go to your meetings and mobilize all your other board of governors to say that this is the message we are taking from the journalists and from the fans to the executive of the PSL, Abantu Ababuyele Enkundleni, Tim Sugazi. The people must go back to the stadiums in football.
I fully agree, my brother. But it won't necessarily be me alone. I think the media is taking a huge chunk of the blame because they are also conspicuously silent. Are they being controlled? I don't know. Are they being manipulated? I don't know. Do they serve different masters? I don't know. Why is the media fighting?
Let me come in here. Let me come in and make a stand. There is an organization called the South African Football Journalist Association, SAFJA. Long before Ulak September left the PSL in the communications department and went to CAF, there were engagements that the likes of that organization, the chairman I know, Veli Lembuli, there were engagements that were happening with the PSL trying to expedite the process of getting the journalists back into the stadiums. And nothing came out of that. I do not know whether it fell on deaf ears and all of that, but I'm just saying, just to underline that silence that you see from that, it is not silence. Things have been happening behind the scenes, and there's just no playing the ball back to the media in regard with the authorities at football. So we are all crying about the same thing. I know even Abo Sialoliane, in terms of defense, are busy trying to mobilize, are busy trying to say, let us be able to get to a position. People have vaccinated. At least let those who have vaccinated be able to access the stadium and enjoy the biggest sports in the country. Like it is happening already with your cricket. It is happening already with your rugby. Why not football?
Yeah. And I do admit, BBK, that perhaps journalists have been restricted from accessing the game. However, from channeling a message, they have the power of the pen. They control the pen. They don't write about it. They don't question it. You know, they've got the power of the pen. Why can't they question it? You know, that could trigger a change of a perspective, whatever the executive maybe is holding as a view on this matter. Or at the very least, it may cause the executive to think differently because it's a body of reasonable people. So I think the media does need to come out publicly and also question it. They, at least if they can't access the stadium, they control the pen. They do have the power of the pen.
And that power of the pen has been used, Tim. Perhaps it's the articles that you may not have seen. But at the same time, perhaps there's comfort around the authorities on the fact that their main sponsor is able to show television. If people are not at the stadium, they can still watch it on TV. We'll carry on this conversation on another day. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for availing yourself. And you said, and I'm going to hold you to this word, come 2022-23 season, TX Galaxy will be in the DStv Premier Soccer League.
Write it down even.
this day, 16th of Feb, 2022, I said it. You can write it down and let's talk at the end of the season.
Tim Sugazi, thank you, my brother from another mother. Ngiyabonga mnaka.
Ngiyabonga mina, no, no, it's...